Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This week saw the closing of one chapter in the Casey Anthony saga. The final plot twist surprised and shocked many people. Did we just see justice and common sense put in a laundry bag and then two garbage bags and thrown unceremoniously in the swamp? We'll be exploring this question this afternoon. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hello, everyone.
From upper New York State, we have the crime doctor, Denny Griffin. Welcome, Denny.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to be back with you again.
Always good to talk to you, Denny. From the City of Angels, we have well-known attorney Manny Barling. Manny, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to talk to everybody.
No, it's not. I mean, you had to get out your swimming pool.
Yeah, it was tough today. You know, it's a Sunday afternoon, right?
That's right. From Ground Zero, Orlando, Florida, we're joined by our good friend, journalist Dave Neckel. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hello, Simon. Thank you. It's good to hear you.
And also joining us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, bail bondsman William Cobra Storbs. Cobra, welcome, and save the I told you so's for later in the program.
Hello, everybody, and I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about, but I did have an unfair advantage.
Oh, Lord. I'm sure we're going to be hearing about this a little bit later on. As always, our chat room is open, and we do invite our listeners to ask their questions of us. I know that this is an incredibly controversial subject, so I please ask that you be kind to each other in there. Let's get on with it. Dave, I want to start with you. Last week, we skipped our regular Sunday program because court was in session. Monday was the 4th of July, and we made an executive decision to skip it. Instead, we broadcast live on Tuesday. And I have to admit that it's very rare that breaking news happens while we're actually on the air, but it did. That there was just one comment from you. Okay, gotta go. Verdict's in. Gotta run. Gotta get to the court. Tell us what happened.
Well, somebody, it was Florida Sun, mentioned on the in the instant message that the verdict was in, and I quickly went to another website just to make sure, and sure enough, and that's when I said I got to go, and I quickly hung up the phone. I was already set and ready just in case, so all I had to do was put my shoes on, and I ran out the door, and I was there at the courthouse with plenty of time left over. And I'll tell you, in that courtroom, it was, you could hear a pin drop. I mean, this is before it was called to order. Everybody was just gripping, waiting with great anticipation. And we were looking at each other just kind of like, you know, like, oh boy, here it comes. I mean, none of us had an idea. You know, we all kind of figured she was going to be found guilty. But, you know, still, we were all very quiet. That even when the judge says, or the deputy said, the call to order, I mean, we were already there. We were in that kind of a mindset. So, yeah, the verdict was very strange. But we could talk about that.
Denny, did you watch the verdict come down?
Yes, I did.
Were you in stunned silence like the rest of us?
You know, I originally was thinking when I did a blog about that, I was going to say I was shocked, but I don't really think shocked. I think shocked may have been a little bit too strong a word, but surprised, definitely. Somewhere between surprise and shock, because I really thought that the prosecution had presented a very strong circumstantial case, and the time with which the jurors were back, I think it was 11 hours or so total, which would have included selecting the foreperson and lunches and that type of thing. Because they had a few options for the death-related charges, I really didn't think they had time to carefully go through each and every one to see if any of them matched up. So I thought, and I noticed that one of the regular guests on the coverage, and I think it was Headline News, Linda Kenny-Botten, who's always been, of course, a former member of the defense team and is pretty much pro-defense through the trial. I thought when they had her on before the verdict was announced, that she looked, you know, like a balloon where the air had just been let out of it. So, I mean, I think she was anticipating, like I was, a guilty verdict on something other than lying. I thought maybe manslaughter. So, yeah, I was surprised.
Jen, I'm pretty certain you were in shock and horror.
Still am. Yes, I still can't believe that they actually said she wasn't guilty. I mean, they could have at least found her guilty of child neglect, at least.
Okay, Manny, you're the legal eagle, and you've been with us for many weeks on this case. What was your first impression?
Was this justice denied? No, I was mildly surprised because I felt that they were going to convict her in spite of all of this, and because, as I pointed out from time to time and agreed with Cobra, there was no cause of death and no time of death, and Dr. G's testimony always bothered me. But as I said throughout the show, usually when a jury like this gets a head of steam up, they just convict. So I never thought for a moment a jury would look at it that way and go, well, you know, they never proved the cause of death, so therefore we can't find her guilty. And I'm just really surprised because that's an unusually learned position for a jury, and I'm always surprised by that.
And I've got to go there. Okay, Cobra, you can start the I told you so's.
Nab. I'm not a sore loser nor a boastful winner. I just say I had an unfair advantage, and that's just all it was. I'm just glad I didn't have to eat a drink. I'm glad you guys didn't have to bring me a bunch of milk for the humble pie I was fixing to have to eat, and it went the other way. But like I said from the beginning, Dave got involved in this when it, you know, started going to trial. I got involved in it 3 years ago, so for 3 years now, you know, we've done a lot of thinking, a lot of researching, a lot of asking questions, and a lot. I had an unfair advantage. That's all.
Well, I mean, that's very gracious of you, Cobra. And it doesn't. I mean,
it's wrong. And
the Kool-Aid today.
I mean, you guys wouldn't have let me up for a couple of months, probably. You know, so you never know when you the bug and when you the windshield. So you better be good.
You know, having practiced law a long time, I really understand that one.
All right, there's a question that's been bothering me, and I haven't had the opportunity to research it. She was found guilty on six felony counts. Check fraud. And I've been told, as I said, I haven't researched it, she was given 12 months probation that was allowed to run while she was in jail. I mean, Dave, can you verify that?
Well, that's true. But the only thing I've really heard about it was that it may have been the clerk of court's fault, the way they filed the document. Because I think the way Judge Strickland wanted it was after she got out of jail. So, but, you know, it is what it is. And one of the things I wanted to say, too, I didn't think much of it, but afterwards, and I realized then because some of the jurors said that they really connected with Jose Baez more than they did the state. I think, you know, I noticed every time Jose got up that day, he would say good morning to the jurors, and the juries always came back with a hearty good morning back to him. And I think that's one of the ways he managed to connect with with the jury, where the state never said good morning. Maybe occasionally Jeff Ashton did. I don't think I heard Linda Drane Burns say good morning once to the jurors. Everything was all business. And maybe that's their style, but maybe it wasn't the style the jury was looking for.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Never the style the jury's looking for, Dave.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I thought we've all talked about Ashton's arrogance. I don't believe it caused him to lose the trial. I think that the fact they didn't have a time of death and other things caused him to lose the trial. But he didn't do himself any favors with some of the things he did either.
Ashton?
Ashton, absolutely. And, you know, as I said, once everybody fixates on a position, everything that Baez did after that date, according to everybody who watched the trial, was bad. And then they got into the bozo names and everything else. But juries don't hear or see that, and they don't participate in that. So quite often, as everybody piles on a defense lawyer because he's so-called representing the bad guy, what they miss is the jury, it doesn't come from the same vantage point. They're not getting the same information. They're not able to form the same viewpoints, and generally don't. And I thought that that was one of Ashton's mistakes, is he completely misread the jury in that regard, and I thought it was just utter arrogance. But in the end, it didn't really cause him to lose. What caused him to lose is he didn't have sufficient evidence on the cause of death, and that just really haunted him.
Okay, I'm going to come back to the to that very, very important point. But I want to ask Denny. Denny, I mean, were you surprised that, you know, in retrospect, Judge Strickland took 6 felonies and rolled them up into 12 months of probation that apparently were served while Casey was in jail?
Yeah, well, I heard that discussed during the past week when they were trying to figure out Casey's release date. And apparently the order was supposed to have been written that this probation would start if she was acquitted on the murder charges and was released from jail. Obviously, if she was convicted on first-degree murder, a 12-month probation wouldn't have been any earth-shattering consequence. But, like Dave said, somebody apparently didn't write the order properly or something, because it didn't reflect about that probation kicking in if and when she was acquitted on the homicide charges. But it started immediately and expired, of course. The 12 months was long past, because she's been in jail about close to 3 years. Getting a deal like that of just probation for 6 felonies, I don't know if that's the norm or not. It doesn't sound like too bad a deal, though, from a defendant's perspective. If you can have 6 felonies and get away with a year's probation, whether you actually have to do the probation or whether it, in her case, ran its course while she was already in jail.
It,
well, it was actually
Actually, it sounds like the kind of thing that can only happen to mobsters.
Yeah. No, let me correct something, though, from everybody. There's something called a non-protunct order, and that's where a judge finds that he's made a clerical error or the clerk has made a clerical error, and it allows him to correct that clerical error without even a hearing, and you just issue a non-protunct order. I've seen them issued in so many cases, it's incredible. So if, in fact, that did happen, the judge could have corrected that in the New York Minute.
Even after it expired?
Well, even after the time expired, I don't know.
Yeah, it expired in January, I believe. So, well, I mean, we're already into,
I don't know at what point in Florida that law attaches and doesn't attach, so I really can't answer that. But that is the most common application of a non-protunct order. And you're right, if all the time period it read, God, it may have been considered an ex post facto situation where they blew the time and they can't go back and do it again. So, yes, that's
yeah,
a
I'll bet
well
you that's what happened.
Okay. Let's move on. Judge Perry, on the other hand, and took a far sterner view of Casey telling lies to the cops. Four counts, and as best I can tell, he meted out the absolute maximum sentence, 1 year per count, $1,000 fine per count, misdemeanor, felony. There's a big difference, I think. Isn't there, Manny?
Well, of course there is. By the way, misdemeanor is defined by the sentence. It's less than 1 year in a county jail. If you're sentenced to more than a year, then it's just automatically a felony. So it's the time that defines what it really is. But, you know, he had a couple of reasons for doing it, and some of them may have been his own feelings about the case. But the reality is that she'd been in jail for a long period of time. She was there because she literally caused this lawsuit, and in fact, assuming for a moment she was innocent for purposes of this discussion, then the fact is that, you know, she cost the state a huge amount of money to try her in a case that, had she reported the death in a timely manner, would not have cost the state of Florida what it did to try this case. And that was on his mind, in my opinion, when he sentenced her.
But, you know, it seems to me he was trying to save face for the state of Florida more than anything else.
Well, that's a good reason. So, assuming that it was his reason, there's nothing wrong with that. If he wants to save face for a state that is now embarrassed by this trial, then, you know, that's his job as a judge. I mean, you know, that's what judges do. And it may sound funny to you, but they have to balance all the events that occur and make their decisions based upon that, Simon. So if he sees that this could be an injustice to the state for a number of reasons, what's wrong with him acting to protect the state?
Well, let me
actually,
ask you,
Manny,
something.
I really enjoy that statement. Dave, do you have any comments?
Well, what I'd like to know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, a judge sits on the bench. Judge sits on a bench. I mean, he does this day in, day out for years. And I think they can pick up the way a trial is progressing. And I wonder what Judge Perry thought of this as it was approaching, the 11th hour. And when it went into final statements and then obviously to the jury for a verdict. I wonder if he felt or sensed anything in one direction or the other, because it certainly took me by surprise and a lot of other people.
Well, let me give you this observation. It took him by surprise. He was ready, you know, for her to be found guilty, and I think he was actually very surprised by it all. So, I think he was faced with that situation where the outcome of the case was not what he expected.
Well, I mean, he didn't show any outward signs, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he might not have shown them to you physically, but he certainly did by everything else he did.
You mean by sentencing her to the maximum on the four misdemeanors?
Oh, absolutely. If he didn't believe there was a good case, he would have let her out. He would have said, you know, who cares about it? She's been wronged enough, and this isn't fair, and she's just spent 3 odd years in jail, gone through sheer hell.
Well, that's a good point.
I'm not
going
to do it to her. And instead, he did it to her. So you tell me. Was he sympathetic? Hell no, he was not sympathetic at all. Not at all.
I agree with you.
And Denny,
yeah.
You know, it's 6 felonies, 12 months probation, 4 telling lies to the cops, 4 years, $4,000. Do you think, you know, Perry was reaching into the bottom of his bucket, if you will? You know, what, I've got to slap her with something. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, after listening to Manny just now, I think that's very possible. I think Perry may have been under the impression that there was going to be a guilty verdict on one of the death-related charges. And, you know, he may have felt that the prosecution actually had a case that they could have or maybe even should have won and wasn't going to give her a pass. He must, like Manny said, he must have thought there was something there. He would have just said, oh, you know, the poor thing's been in jail 3 years already, blah, blah, blah. We'll cut her some slack and make sure she's out as soon as possible instead of saying we're going to keep her for as long. It wasn't that much longer, but it was as long as they could keep her. And this, you know, the issue now of maybe recovering or going after this money that was spent on the investigation and so forth. So, yeah, I don't think he treated her with any sympathy, and he may very well have thought that she should have... the verdict maybe should have been a little bit different.
Jan, did it surprise you?
What?
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 That, you know, he meted out the absolute max for the, you know, relatively minor misdemeanors while Judge Strickland basically was very, very lenient.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. I don't know if he was even really full aware of what those charges was, because he had said before that was before he took on the case. So I don't know. I think he should have checked into it more, if that's what you're asking me.
Manny, does a judge have any leeway, or are they absolutely bound by the sentencing terms?
When you say bound by, you mean bound by the statute that prescribes the length of a settlement? Oh, yeah.
Right.
Now, in the federal court, they had guidelines for a long time that limited a judge's ability to change sentences because people were unhappy with the way sentences are being done. I don't know of any such provision in any of the state courts. So I don't believe that they have any right. Plus, to extend it beyond what the legislature has enacted would, in essence, be a violation of statute, and that sentence would not hold up. So in many respects, these things are pretty well resolved by statute. And if everybody wanted it to be a longer sentence, then the basic legislature has to change it.
All right. I'm going to drop the whole issue of misdemeanors and felonies. Let's move on. There was some scuttlebutt. Cindy Anthony apparently turned up at the jail, and Casey refused her visit. Dave, were you surprised by that?
There's nothing that surprises me, you know, nothing at all anymore. And it never surprised me when Casey didn't want to see her parents all along. So Jose Baez took that away from them. I think that Casey's still under the fence's wing, and they look what they did to the Anthony family. So they're not going to all of a sudden, Baez is not going to have a soft heart and say, oh, come on, let your mother come visit you. Nothing surprised me there.
Well, why would that be Baez's decision? It's her decision.
She's been going by everything he tells her to do.
Yeah, and besides that, the whole thing culminated from the visits being made public, and I think he still doesn't want. I think he wants to keep them apart. I don't think he wants any kind of contact with the family. It's as if Baez thinks that they taint her.
Well, let's go a step farther. I mean, I watched the jailhouse tapes. I mean, you know, I would be upset as a lawyer if they were recording that and then putting it out and became public record. And I'm sure that's what he's trying to avoid, is any post-trial public record of anything being done by the jail. And I'm sure he has warned her over and over about what jailhouse informants will say or do. And I'm sure that's a major concern on his part, and it should be.
Well, it's too bad. I mean, those letters got out, and they didn't hurt her at all, obviously. And Baez didn't care about those letters.
Well,
and besides,
they didn't care
about Florida Sunshine Law. They are aware of the Florida Sunshine Law, so they shouldn't be upset over it or anything like that, because they know it's there. It's going to be released.
Mr.
Well,
C. Even mildly surprised that Casey opted not to do a visit with her mother after she's been found not guilty on the murder deal?
Well, I'm glad you called on me. If I may just back up for one second, as far as the judge giving her, that was the maximum amount under the law that he could give her. He did not have to. Hey, there is no state statute for mandatory on lying to a police officer, a little misdemeanor. He could have just said that, threw it all out of court. He could have given probation. He could have done any numerous of things, but he gave her the maximum. And if I'm not mistaken, just imagine what he would have done if they would have come back with a first-degree murder deal. I think that pen in his pocket was not a pen. I think it was a freaking needle for that machine, but nonetheless, it didn't happen. But I don't believe that Baez had any say in the refusal at 7 o'clock the other night for her. They could have used it as a post-victory deal as far as the press was concerned, and I think Baez would have went that way had he been in charge of, you know, the one given permission or not. But you have to go back to what I've told you all along. She loathes her mother. And that neck breaking stuff that they found on the computer, she wanted to break her neck. They hate each other. I mean, it's frick. That was all, I believe it was 100% her decision, because everybody knows those conversations are taped and audioed, and they would have gave it to HLN or whoever would have, you know, got it out there. And Baez would have used it pro family, pro Casey, pro this, pro that. I don't think he did any decision making in that. I think it was strictly her going, I used y'all for the last time. I'm done with you. Don't want to see you no more. Period. End of story. Hate your ass. And that's, but you could slice it either way. But I would lean to her decision, not Baez's.
Oh, okay. You make a good point. Let's go back to the charges. Manny, I'm going to lean on you because you're the lawyer around this table. Number one, did the prosecution overcharge on the murder counts, and did they undercharge on the lying counts? Couldn't they have changed those lying to the cops counts, or at least a couple of them, to being obstruction of justice?
Well, they could have done a lot of things, but they were, as I said, they were cocky from the beginning, and they chose a course of action that ultimately hurt them. By limiting what they could put on, they then really put on a case that was limited to the first-degree murder. So from day one, that's all they were concerned about. Do I think it's a mistake? Yeah, I think it's more unusual than a mistake. My experience with prosecutors is they just overcharge, period. They just run amok. So in this particular case, they didn't, and that surprises me. I think in every other case I've seen, any chance they can to file anything they can, they do. So that's what makes it unusual, is they didn't do it in this case.
Denny, were you surprised that, you know, that there wasn't an obstruction of justice in there somewhere?
Yeah, actually, I guess I didn't really think about some of the more minor charges, whether they were there or not there, until all the majors got not guilty. Then I started thinking, I wonder if they could have done something different, if there should have been a little more ammunition in the quiver. But yeah, they could have. The reason, whether it was arrogance or overconfidence or whatever, I don't know.
If I may interject in there for a second, and I'm still waiting for the final answer on this, I don't believe that the state has the ability to file obstruction of justice charges like the feds do. And that's what I'm thinking. I don't think that the state, and you can't mix the two. She's either brought up on state charges or she's brought up on federal charges. Now, the door's wide open, and I'm wondering why the feds, because Mick Savage, he's a federal agent. He's picked his paycheck up from the Department of Justice, same as the rest of them do. Now, he's a federal agent. Now, lying to a federal agent is a felony, and it's under the 2001 Act, and that carries 5 years per charge. Also, at the same time, it's not the same thing as, but they can also, to each one of those charges, add an obstruction of justice charge. Now, each one of those is a felony carrying, I think, 5 years. So on those two charges, times four would have been 40 years. Plus, I'm screaming to the top of the hills, anybody listen to me right now, she lied to Nick Savage. Nick Savage, they could also now, I hope, bring a federal case for lying to the feds and obstruction of justice. And then turn right around and get her for violating Kaylee's freedom of, pursuit of happiness. Basically, her civil rights were violated, just like they did in Rodney King when the jury acquitted Rodney, the police officers. And then the feds picked it up, and they stepped in, and bam, they went away then. So I believe that, I was hoping and praying that Wednesday she's supposed to get out. Then they changed it to Sunday, and I said, Lord, ring the doorbell on one of these federal agencies and see if they won't step in, because she lied to the feds just as many times as she lied to the locals. But everybody's wondering about bringing those charges, and right now I'm still waiting for one of the other attorneys to call me back, because we were talking back and forth, somebody to start a petition rolling and send it over there and say, look, you need to charge this girl. But at that time, they couldn't charge her with obstruction of justice. And going back to your first opening question there, I think that the state of Florida, whether it was, Jeff's idea or whose idea it was cock-strong. They just went too far to the right and overcharged the case instead of, putting all these other smaller, lesser charges in there that would have stuck. They would have stuck. If you'd have said, hey, she killed her child accidentally, manslaughter, and it was neglect, the jury would have bought that. But to go first-degree murder, can't make that gap. That's why I said, yes, she's going to walk. They overcharged the damn thing, and that's a danger doing that. Manny probably has experienced that before. But, Manny, I don't know. I should be writing what I just said, but I don't have full 100% confirmation on that yet.
Well, I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but I think what happens, especially with the feds like this, is they let the dust settle a little bit, then they sort of step back and look at it. Because they don't want to look like vultures. They're also concerned with embarrassing the Florida authorities, and don't want to look like you goofs were coming in to save the day, which they are. And so there's a certain amount of delicacy in politics. So they release her. So they charge her a week from now. So they use a grand jury. I mean, in the end, what's the difference? is how long would she be on the streets? A week or two or three? But I think in terms of embarrassment and knee-jerk reactions, I think they are being very, very cautious not to look like fools on this. And I don't think they'd look good if they just got up and charged her.
The only reason I'd like her to get charged before she gets out, because some psycho crazy bastard, since this is a case that, as I said earlier, would go bigger than O.J. Simpson, and this is not the end, this is only the beginning, I wouldn't want someone to pop her and her family and a couple other ones out there when they get out, because some psycho may. That would make her a martyr. Then there is no justice. So I was hoping that before she gets out, they do charge her so that there's no chance of somebody making a martyr out of this girl. You know?
I don't see that happening. I mean, it didn't make a martyr out of O.J., who I think was even less sympathetic than she was in many respects. And throw in the racial issue that a lot of what went on with O.J. Simpson was also racism, then I think that he was probably more exposed than others were. But, no, you know, the average American...
These are children, though, man. These are children. They trump the race card. I mean, this is like Full House on a flush.
You know,
I mean, this trumps that because they're children. Both of them are children. One small child and one other child.
Any doctor out now who in the United States who is performing abortions has a greater likelihood of being killed than she does. It's really that simple. Well, it's the truth.
Okay, Dave, I want to ask you a question. You live in Orlando. You've been in the court every day, apart from 2 days. That's what your editor is saying anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What is the groundswell? This has nothing to do with, you know, the legal issue. What are people saying? What are people thinking? Are you scared for her?
You know, people I know point at me and say, "Dave, it's your fault." You know, of course they're kidding around, but for the most part, people are disappointed. But it's not something that people are going nuts over. A lot of people, you got to remember, were kind of like over this because it was saturating the news, you know, every day, day in and day out. Now, interestingly, the people that didn't want to hear much about it were the ones who were glued to their televisions watching the trial. I mean, I had people coming out of the woodwork saying, "Dave, we're watching. We can't miss it. You know, we're just glued to our television set." But then after it was over, they didn't react that much.
They're not.
And that was kind of surprising.
Dave, you did cause this. Not only did you get a judge kicked out of there, but you also, from day one, have been defending the Anthonys. And I cannot figure out why. Well, that's what the judge congratulated you on. He said you were giving them a good. That's what the judge said. He said, "Hey, man,
Jose Baez paid me." Jose Baez paid me to do that. It's amazing. It's amazing how people react like that.
You know what?
You were the cameraman that captured the picture of Jose and Geraldo on his boat.
Oh my God!
Well, I'm telling you, Cobra, that you know you're not far from you know the way people have treated me on this. There's a lot of idiots out there in the world.
I mean, the judge commended you. That's what got the judge in trouble. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you weren't allowing anybody to get on your blog site over there and bash on Cindy Anthony. You were actually defending them. The judge thought that was a good thing, and he said, "Good job," and then lost his job.
Yeah, and he said so on Nancy Grace the other night, and he also admitted that he called me up when I was sick. And, you know, there are people out there that will still say that, "All right, what did you do, Dave? You forced the judge to lie for you."
Well,
it's amazing.
If you were defending the Anthonys, and now would you still defend Sidney Anthony like you were then?
I never defended the Anthonys. I never defended anything like that. All I said was, "I don't care what you say, just don't call them, you know, third grade level names." That was the only problem I had. I'm not going to ruin my blog by the likes of you. And if you don't like it, you know, go to hell, basically, was my attitude, because it got to the point where these people were, like, downright nasty. And no, I never defended the Antis. I didn't give a crap one way or the other about that. I didn't care about anything. I sensed that Casey was guilty all along, for sure, like everybody else. But, you know, I tried to maintain a neutrality so I could go in there and write from all angles so that people could sit there and decide on their own what they wanted to believe and not believe. But you know, my job wasn't to sit there and write an angry blog. So,
well,
no,
I never
defended the Antis.
Well, let me say this, Dave. You know, there's this whole line about any publicity is better than none at all, and the fact that you're in the center of it is probably very good for your career. So if you don't create any controversy as a writer, you don't get a lot of action. So,
well, that's right, Manny. Yeah, there were people who told me that. They said, if you've got people on both sides mad at you, then you've done something right. This is what some of the journalists told me. You know,
yeah,
for you to be able to do that, you know, you're doing the right thing.
I agree, and it really applies to you. If you stimulated both sides and they're both unhappy with you, that means you are generally very fair to everybody, because people are only unhappy with you when you're fair. You know, for some reason, once people in the United States take one side or the other, they think that side is right and everyone else, to the exclusion of that, is wrong, and that's just not the way our country works. But that's the way people
react. And one of the sad things about it was that there were actual, like, death threats, you know, and veiled threats, you know, of death and stuff like that. And because of Casey, I mean, the jury's verdict, she's going to be a free woman, but will she ever really be free? She's going to have to look over her shoulder for the rest of her life. If they're doing that toward me, they're acting that way toward me, just somebody who writes about the case, what are they going to do the real thing?
Dave, let me offer you a thought. What happens, and it's more so with women in this than men, is they ultimately marry, they get older, their marriage changes their name. I mean, look at Kathleen Salaya, who disappeared in California and showed up 30-odd years later as a doctor's wife in Minnesota. So she marries some guy, moves to Seattle, and he has a job there. Within a short period of time, dyes her hair, a little change. Nobody even noticed her. And one day someone goes, God, you know, I didn't know she was such and such. But for men, it's a little more difficult, particularly guys like O.J. Simpson, who have a higher profile and everybody recognizes his face from movies and other things. But in her case, yeah, she can slip back in the woodwork and she can disappear for some period of time and nobody will notice her, good, bad, or otherwise.
Okay, I'm going to interject here. I think we've had enough interpanel bashing for one day.
Simon, we were doing great without you. Jan's taught us how to do without you. It's really no problem, honestly. Right, Jan? You can do it, can't you?
Yeah.
Simon, who?
Y'all just take over.
Yeah. So, Jan, how do you feel about running the show for a while?
No, I don't want to do it.
Okay. Here's the deal. Next Sunday, probably... you know, by this time next Sunday, you know, she'll be skipping down the road hand in hand with Chaney Mason on one side and Jose Baez on the other. She's Dorothy out of the Wizard of Oz. But her problems are only just beginning. All right, but I see lots of potential civil suits, and civil suits that are already rocking and rolling. We have the Zanny the Nanny lawsuit. Jan, am I correct in thinking that she's been, or she's going to be deposed on the 19th?
On the 19th by Zenaida Gonzalez's lawyer, Ms. Morgan. They've got that scheduled for the 19th. They subpoenaed her while she's still behind bars for that.
Yeah, well, chances are that won't go because she's just out of jail. They'll find some reason why she's not up to it, and they'll get put off, and probably won't happen for another month or 6 weeks.
They're pushing this.
Well, they can push all they want, but people routinely find reasons not to appear for the deposition, and it just happens. Sometimes you have to reschedule them two or three times because of the way that people deal with it, and that's probably what's going to happen here, is that they'll say, oh, she's so sick and exhausted from being in jail. She's just not physically able. You know, that's line number five. She tripped over the carpet. That's line number six. I mean, there are just dozens of them. Lawyers just do this constantly. So, and by the way, does she even have a lawyer in the civil case? If not, that will also delay her deposition while she finds time to find a lawyer to represent her. So there are just a lot of hoops and things. And any normal civil case, you rarely does the deposition of a party or a witness go on the first date schedule. So based on that alone, I would say it's not likely this will go on the first date schedule.
I know they want. I think she had a lawyer. I don't know if she still does.
She did. Jonathan Kaysen out of the Fort Lauderdale area. But I think he left, and I think she has someone else now. But I'm not sure. I don't remember
her name.
Because
they've been expecting this. Zanita's lawyer has been sitting on pins and needles waiting for this, for the moment to be able to do this.
Well, let me ask you this question, since most of you aren't familiar with this process, in case somebody is. What happens if she just doesn't show up? Does anybody know?
What are they going to do to her? No.
What happens is the opposing counsel has to make a...
They enter a judgment against her, Manny.
No, they wouldn't. You have to make a motion to compel appearance of deposition, and that requires a formal motion, and that takes several weeks to calendar, and then if she just agrees to a date before she's supposed to show up for that hearing, it all gets pushed off to the edge. So there's like 1,001 different delaying tactics that can be used.
Well, you didn't say and show up. I thought when you say don't show up, I thought that meant don't never show up. You don't never show up.
No, no, no. Just to gain some time.
Oh, okay.
I think she needs some time, like any party does, in these type of situations, to step back and decide what the heck she's going to do. I mean, she had to assume she was going to lose, too. So now with that she's won, I think she's got a little bit of a, what am I going to do now? I've won. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
You know? I wasn't expecting to win.
She wins this.
Yeah.
That's wrong, Zanita Gonzalez. I thought about another one. Remember I told you she had nice, beautiful black hair. Now, if anybody has a memory, I mean, I don't have any notes. I never have any notes. If I had notes, I could really sound good. Back in the day, when she described the appearance and look of Zanita Gonzalez, if you recall, I don't know who she told it to, but she told it to somebody, this girl had nice teeth, this girl had nice hair, and she was about so tall, and this, that, and the other. Then when we saw Zanita Gonzalez, it didn't look like her, but then I saw who it was. It was George's girlfriend, she described. So, and she's changed her name to Riverboat, Catboat, Catfish, over here, over there, up there. I mean, she could have been one time Zanita Gonzalez, for all I know.
Okay. The Zanny thing has been filed. It's a go. It will happen. It may not happen on the 19th, but it will happen at some point.
Absolutely.
Manny, what other possibilities are there? Could we see the Anthony family pull the Duckett idea against Nancy Grace?
Oh, I think there's several people that are going to be taking a long, hard look at Nancy Grace, including CNN, who has to deal with this aftermath, who are obviously concerned they're about to get sued from what little I've seen of them and what little they've said. They're also concerned about her ratings dropping down into the toilet now and her career being destroyed, even though she doesn't seem to think so. I know from industry people, besides being a lawyer, I sit on the executive committee at the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences because at one point I ran a few TV show stations, in Houston. So anyway, to make a long story short, I get a lot of scuttlebutt from my friends in the industry, and I know CNN's consulted their lawyers. They're bracing for what they believe will probably be a lawsuit against Nancy Grace, one they feel is going to be very, very embarrassing and could cost them a huge amount of money. And why will
I hope they call me as witness. I hope they call me as witness.
And why will it cost them a lot of money? Because her ratings, the harder she hammered her, the higher her ratings went up. So she just kept hammering and hammering. Her ratings kept going up, so there could be a very, very strong argument that what she's done is essentially done this deliberately to increase her ratings and make her show go better. Well, you kind of go, well, you know, she really...
I'll be his witness.
Penny, you're exactly right. And the thing that Nancy Grace has done that just disturbs me is she chooses sides. It happened in the Haley case, and it's happened in the Kaylee case. And I hope they clean their clocks.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of hers either. Right or wrong, I feel her conduct is inappropriate. It just, you know, we have a problem in our country with too much publicity in trials. We have a problem where people are reaching decisions and convicting people before they should. And in many respects, I think that this has been a big problem in this case. Right or wrong, basically everybody convicted her, and no one's going to ever change their position, as happened with Simpson. And on behalf of every lawyer I know, I'm going to express my feelings that people do not accept jury verdicts in the United States, and I think it's horrible. At some point, you just got to give it up and say that's what the jury ruled, and you got to live with it. But people don't want to do that. So that's a big problem. So here comes Nancy Grace, who's at the forefront of whipping the crowd up, and she reminds me of that the famous satire in Dickens of the woman who stood there at the guillotine in A Tale of Two Cities. Could you imagine in those days, had someone been exempted and the crowd told, okay, we're not gonna cut this person's head off, they would have gone nuts. So right now, that's what Nancy Grace is doing.
We're friends now, Manny. God damn, we got a common denominator now.
And by the way,
in the room, I can't stand her ass.
And you know something? It's not the verdict that's causing me to say this, because I've been saying this for a long time to my wife about my personal upset with her trying to influence a jury. She is probably the most overrated lawyer I've ever seen in my life. Half the time she speaks as another lawyer, I laugh at her. She's a joke among other lawyers I know who go, God, I'd love to try to case against that idiot, because she comes
across
as an
idiot. Most of her cases, Manny, from what I understand, most of her convictions got overturned. Most of them, 121, I think it was. I don't know the exact number, but I heard, maybe rumor, and also heard that her new show, Street Justice, or whatever the hell that was, got moved to L.A., and of course, I'm glad, because her investigator was going to be Art Harris. And I'm like, oh, my God. Jesus, that's all we need is two of them guys together. But I fell out with the woman during the Haley case when she got on the phone. Actually, Ronald Cummings got on the phone with her, and right in the middle of my investigation, she lawyered him up. And I'm like, oh, my God. Then she took Anthony's position here, and I'm like, damn, woman, how come you always pick the losing team? Shit.
There are two types of people who have feelings about whether she's guilty or innocent. Jan is a very typical one to me. Jan sincerely believes, based upon the evidence, etc., that she was guilty. And Jan has believed this as long as we've discussed this. Nancy Grace, in my opinion, didn't even care whether she was guilty or innocent. She just took a position she was guilty or innocent, guilty, and just wrote it from that point on and found reasons to believe in it. And I'm not so sure that she believes everything that she says, because she's so busy looking for publicity and trying to feather her own bed and advance her own goals.
Don't make me turn your mic off, Manny. We're going to turn your mic. Get Manny up on the screen. Pull Manny's picture up here.
Careful, I might scare the viewers away.
Okay, I want to bring Denny in on this. Do you think that Nancy might be facing another Trenton Duckett go-round?
Yeah, I've heard, in addition to what was just been said here, I've heard and seeing other indicators that I think there could be some problems for Nancy over this. Whether she'll prevail or not, I don't know. But I don't think we've heard the last. I think that's all stuff coming down the pike. And so I think there's going to be a lot of aftermath of this. Casey has just been discussed. She's got to say anything. Jim Miller is from Equisearch is talking about a lawsuit. The Anthonys of Cindy and George, I guess, are being looked at by some people for some of their conduct. There's maybe some civil litigation. The IRS, I guess, alleges that Casey owes them several thousands of dollars. And the reputation of the IRS, I understand, is that when they get an interest in you, they're pretty tough to shake. And then the Nancy Grace issue, and I think there are others. So I think that over the next several weeks or months, there's going to be a lot of fallout from this.
Okay, Jen hates it when I put her on the spot. But earlier today, she came out with some interesting figures. Should the state decide to come back and try and get their money for the cost of investigation, the cost of housing the jurors. What were those ugly figures? Do you remember?
Well, I know for the jurors, for their costs, the hotel rooms totaled up to $137,366. The hotel food for the jurors was $24,918. Wages, $17,850. Transportation, $6,000. And they paid Pinellas County $6,198 when they were there for the courtroom use for whenever they were picking the jury. And that's just for the jurors' costs.
Okay,
now,
so that,
I want you guys to go back
that,
now.
That comes up, that comes up to a pretty hefty sum, doesn't it?
Yeah, I didn't add the total up on it, but it quite a bit just for that.
Simon, humble pie.
Now,
you and I,
Manny,
you shot me down on it, and I told you it was going to be $500,000 in all the cover that list.
And then they've got not just that. Now they've got all these other charges that Casey's facing alone, just with her court.
Well, okay, but before you go there, Manny, you and I talked. It was a couple of months ago about the potential jury costs, and I thought you were highballing it, but no, you didn't.
I've danced this dance before. I know what it costs, and it's a lot of money. But at the same time, she was, she was acquitted. The items which she was tried for, where Susan was sentenced for, essentially pled to. I think they're going to have a very, very difficult time assessing her court costs without it being punitive and being a form of double jeopardy. Because, you can't accuse somebody of a crime, go out there and just decide, they lost, but gee whiz, they should pay for the loss. I just think that's a real problem.
Plus, the judge nailed her in court, and when he handed down those fines, I said, he just took $4,000 to forgive $400,000. Damn.
Uh-huh.
1%.
Okay, back to Jen. Now, she has a bit of a problem with the IRS.
$70,000 bill that she's got for the IRS.
Okay, now...
Well, what's the $70,000 based on? Does anyone know?
Whenever she sold the pictures for the $200,000 that she gave the money to Baez for when she first got arrested... She didn't pay no taxes on that, so the IRS wants their money out of it.
Well, sure, then they'll just slap her with a tax bill. That's
no
big deal.
Yeah, but it's a lot of money when you don't have it.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for you to say, no big deal.
Well,
trust me, I don't want to get a $70,000 tax bill.
Well, Yeah, but you're not. But you're working, and you have a life, and she doesn't. And right now, on a scale of 1 to 10, that's a 1 in terms of her other problems. So it's not like that's that she's got a check they can attach or a bank account they can attach. What are they going to do?
They're going to put a lien on anything that she makes.
Well, sure. Well, that's fine. I don't.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we're not figuring that she's going to be able to pay it right away. What I'm talking about is this is going to be a lien on any profits that she's going to be able to make on books and all that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing unusual about that.
Right.
You know,
but it is something to look forward to, at least that she won't get in her pocket. But she's also got the Zenaida case. They're suing for $15,000, which to me is not enough, but that's what they're suing for. But I also heard that Texas EchoSearch is planning on going back on thinking about considering going back with a civil suit against her to try to collect some of the money that they spent looking for a live child, which they figure about $112,000 is what they spent.
I don't think
and
they have. I like old Timmy, but I don't think he's got a leg to stand on that one. But
saying it's something that she's going to have to. She don't know for sure that this is not going to happen. You know, if she hears about all this, she's going to be wondering about all these people suing her.
I don't
she's going to have a lot of people coming from left and right coming after her.
Yeah,
let me
but
tell you
whether they get it or not.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. If you've just been dropped from the old death penalty list, do you
right.
really give a damn whether what
yeah.
other people are saying something? I mean, right now, I think she's viewing her life as everything is could not be any better because she's alive.
That's right, buddy.
So, I don't believe that most of these things, if any of them, would be survive bankruptcy.
Okay,
none of them are,
Manny, we're talking about
really
you're talking about a normal person, though. We're talking about Casey Anthony.
No, we're talking about someone who's lawyered up. And you're
trying
to get a lot of advice from lawyers is what we're talking about.
Yeah, but
about.
We're still talking about Casey Anthony, about what she's thinking in her mind. This girl is not thinking about, oh, well, now I'm going to be alive. Thank God I'm going to start my life over and I'm going to be a good person. She's not thinking that. Casey's just thinking that I beat the system.
Well, Jan,
I think she's alive.
Casey, if I'm Casey, the first thing going through my mind is, I got to get me a. I'm adopt me an Irish kid or some. I'm gonna either adopt me one or have me one. First thing she's gonna do. Second thing, she's got so many lawyers. Everything except for, and it may even knock out a piece of that is IRS. But the rest of them, no problem. Get all the paper you want. I'll dismiss every one of you in one stroke with the bankruptcy, and then I'll start fresh. And guess what? I'm worth more now than I was before. That's too easy. Too easy. She's in the hole. It's like Manny said. If you escape death, you're like being born brand new again. Now file bankruptcy, change your name, get your hair dyed, move off someplace else, and start over again. I mean, a woman, it's real. Trust me, I chase fugitives. And I've called a lot of men. I've called very few women, probably 100. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because women are hard to catch. First of all, they don't show up on any documents anywhere. Once they go underground with the name change, they get married. That screws us up just bad enough, changing the name. But can you imagine somebody purposely trying to change their name? A female can do it easily. A man, not so easy. But a female can change her appearance. My God, they are hard to catch. And trust me, that's what I do. Very hard.
Okay, I'll tell you a story. Cobra, I had a lady who was sentenced for part of a scheme that was the biggest fraud before Madoff. It was about $5 billion in funds. And they basically judge sentenced them to life in prison, and they were sent downstairs to where they put on an ankle bracelet until the post-trial hearing, and she slipped out. So that was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and it took 5 years, of which they were so angry, they assigned a U.S. Marshal full-time to find him, and full-time with all their resources, took 5 years to find her.
Yep.
That's how hard women are.
Very difficult, brother man. Very difficult.
Very.
Okay, Manny, I want to go back to, what possible chance the state has of recuperating anything. You made a convincing argument that trying to recoup the jury costs is a lost cause, because that wasn't Casey's fault. That was the state that did that.
Well,
however,
no. My position is a little different, Simon. Perhaps everyone misunderstood me. My position is, if you look at this in our world, you cannot just get up and accuse someone for a crime, try them, lose, and go, okay, I'm just going to make her pay for it, because something about that flies in the face of our particular system, and I just don't think that you can just get up and do that. No matter how the judge may feel about it, he may be violating her constitutional rights, and you may have an issue of double jeopardy, that she's being placed in jeopardy now a second time after the trial is over by compelling her to pay for a trial that she really didn't want and was found not guilty of.
Okay. But does she have any liability for the amount of money spent while looking for a live Kaylee, you know, the 6 months' worth of investigation?
I'm not able to answer that because I don't know Florida law.
Let me split it easy on you. Let me take the child out of the equation. Let me make it easy for everybody. If the state had that ability, then if somebody was going around, say that you robbed the bank, okay, and then they come and investigate. I didn't rob no damn bank. Hell no. And they spent all this money trying to prove that you robbed this bank. Come find out you did rob this bank. So if they get money out of her for this lying, take away that it's a missing child and they're actually looking for something, because in most cases they're looking for something. They're looking for the truth, looking how to find you guilty, looking how to put it on you. So if they are successful in doing that, then it's a violation, because everybody that's ever went to jail, it costs the state and taxpayers something to get them there. And nobody came walking in there, very few, if any, and said, yeah, I did it. And they spent a couple dollars and sealed it up. But everybody lies and puts the police down the wrong road. So if they do it to her, I think they got to go back and do it to everybody. But since they didn't do it to everybody, then they don't have a snowball's chance in hell of going after her. I think it would be a violation of her rights.
Okay. You're going to say it that way. That's fine. I can understand that. But then where are you going on? What is it about these Anthonys that everybody says that about? They can do this. They can do that. And, I mean, but yet, if I went up there and did the things that these people did, do you think I'd be sitting in my living room right now? No, I'd be behind bars.
Different. That's a little bit different now. That's a little bit different.
No, it isn't different. If I get up and lie on the stand, I am not going to be able to walk away and get away with it scot-free.
What they need to do is they need to go ahead and charge George, charge Cindy, and charge Lee with obstruction of justice and lying to law enforcement under the 2001 Act federally. That way they'll get some time. But if they decide to charge them statewide and make them misdemeanors and stuff like that, then they get their day in the sunshine the same as everybody else. But they've lied. And I'm all for, listen, your investigation's not over with yet. There's other folks here that tried to cover up, and there's a long list of them. That's just the Anthony, since you brought them up. But there's a long list of them that fall into that. But, yeah, go ahead and go after them and then charge them, you know, court costs or whatever you're going to do. But as far as going after this girl for lying and causing all these searchers and police to have to go wide open on them and get all this evidence, that's nothing that doesn't happen in every case. The thing of it is, where we're all screwed up is we took this thing emotionally. And I told everybody, you got to separate your emotion from the fact, because they don't mix. Now, emotionally, I say, let me stick the needle in her arm, because you don't need to be having no more kids. And let me get the rest of them while they're at it before they screw up and do some stupid shit. But if you look at it fact-based, you have to come to the same damn decision that the jury did. You limited them by putting this first-degree murder, to put first-degree murder beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you got to consider. You're taking somebody's life. What if somebody lied and somebody's wrong? I'm not gonna live with that shit on my conscience. Ain't no way. They didn't prove it enough to me sitting there taking it unbiasedly, taking emotion out of it. Now, you let me get my emotions wrapped into it, and I say,
Yeah, kill her. Kill her right now.
Okay, Denny, you've been incredibly quiet. I'm sure you're just sat in upper New York State seething. I mean, do you think that there is any opportunity for the state to come back and have a second bite at the apple to try and recoup some of the costs?
I think it would be tough. They might consider it. Maybe they'll try it. I'm just wondering, and I realize that opening statements aren't evidence. Okay, I understand that. But I'm wondering if, had she just been acquitted without the opening statement about the girl was never missing. There was never an issue because she drowned in the pool on June 16th. I don't know if that, I don't know what legal, if there's any legal relevance to that, but certainly the fact that she says that now, I don't know if that has any impact on the state's decision. Well, now the girl admits that there was basically a false report. This girl was never missing. She was dead. And maybe they feel because of that, where had it not been mentioned in opening statements and just been a straight acquittal for lack of evidence without the sex abuse and the accidental drowning. I don't know if that makes any difference or not legally, but it might have people fired up, you know, looking for anything to get something out of this, any type of anything they can do to Casey to get some sense of what people might think is justice. Maybe they feel that because she admitted or through her lawyer said that there had never been a missing child, maybe...
That's what I don't understand. If he can stand up in court and admit that, how come they can't say, I mean, how come they can't use that against her?
Well, you know,
I mean, all that time, for 6 months, they had people thinking, I mean, even the grandparents was up there saying, you know, the child's alive. And Casey even said, I know she's coming home. I know she's coming home. So how come if he comes up and says, she wasn't missing, that's why she didn't report her. Because she was dead. That she wasn't missing. That's
well,
an admission.
Wait a minute.
Right,
I want to ask a question of all of you. What happened if the jury didn't buy that and just didn't believe that she killed him and didn't care about this story of whether or not in the end she was lying or not lying, and it wasn't even a factor in the decision? So to some extent, you don't even know what the jury's rulings were. But the problem is, and I might add something besides the problem, what if they decide to pursue her for court costs and they lose? Wouldn't that be a horrible embarrassment for the prosecutors? So
I believe they would, and you're exactly right. We don't know what the jury... See, the jury wasn't charged with finding that piece of evidence out. They were charged
right
on the first-degree murder deal. So we don't know what the jury felt. Now, of course, the jury's trying to save face so they can say anything. There goes the whole ball game. And, Jan, it's like you robbing the bank and I'm the getaway driver. And, well, I don't know where Jan's at. Well, you dropped off. No. And then finally I said, well, listen, folks, I was driving the car, you know, and she robbed the bank. I mean, you'd have to go back to everybody who's ever committed a crime and lied to the police and caused a major investigation instead of just telling the truth. It would be the same. So it would be a violation of her rights, civil rights, to her to start an uprising that you wouldn't even want. You think this is bad. That would be bad. It would be foolish. And it's like Manny said, we don't know what the juror had in their mind when they did this. So it's a no start.
Well, let's come back to my first point. I don't know the law in that jurisdiction, or if there is a law. If there's no law in the books, then they're in trouble. If there's a law in the books, that law may give them a right to do that. That's the question. Do they have a law on their books that permit that kind of recovery, specifically in this kind of case? And I don't know the answer to that, but that's the question.
Florida is one of the easiest, most generous states with most laws. And if you say go ahead and bring charges against her and go ahead and charge her for all this money, and find her that she's responsible and get a judgment, a piece of paper is what you're going to get because you don't have that money yet. And you get a judgment against her for whatever we want, $1 million. Then Equisearch gets a judgment against her for $112,000. Then somebody else gets a judgment against her for X amount of dollars.
Now, she could go two ways. I'll do this X-rated movie or do the Jerry Springer show or something, pay everybody back. Or, guess what? I'll file bankruptcy, which we're very lenient on that stuff anyway, and give them all a blank piece of paper, tell them to go pound sand, and I'll put the money in my bank account. And the only one I probably have to take care of would be the IRS. But most everything else is gone. Gone, gone, gone.
I'll tell you what, folks. Let's take a huge risk here. We have an inflammatory panel. Let's see if we have an inflammatory caller. Someone calling in from the 208 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, Simon. It's Peggy from the great state of Idaho. Common sense, you know. I'm not inflamed. I just have something to say about this paying back the investigative costs for looking for a missing child. When she agreed that she was never missing, that she was actually dead from an accidental drowning, there's been other people prosecuted and collected on those funds nationwide, that runaway bride or whatever that was. I mean, she had to pay back all those costs because of, you know, she had been kidnapped and all that stuff that she came up with. So I think they have a case there, but that's just my thoughts on it. So I just wanted to put in my two cents worth.
And those, particularly the runaway bride, there were specific statutes in the state that allowed them to do that, which is why I asked if there was a specific statute in Florida that allowed them to do that.
I know, Manny, I just love your common sense take on all of it. You just have a very good bring us all back down to earth and make us look at the hard, cold facts.
Thank you. I'm going to be hard to live with the rest of the show. Thank you.
Oh. I am so sorry.
Thank you so much.
I have to talk to him all the time.
I'm sorry, Simon. I love you, too. I mean, that's why I listen to this program, is because I just like the whole conversation.
Excuse me a moment. I got to go pat myself on the back.
I thought we'd have a hard time with Cobra because, you know, he's been calling this from the beginning. So I thought maybe you'd have to say, put him up, put him up.
Let's talk about Cobra for a minute. Cobra has been, you know, despite being controversial and deliberately stirring everyone up, has always been centered on balance and advanced some very seriously good arguments. And when Cobra talks about abandoning his emotions on it to look at it objectively, he really deserves a compliment for it. And he's handled the good, the bad, and all of our ugly criticism so well, we're going to pick on him for another year. Right, panel?
That's right.
Absolutely.
But I am not inflamed from this decision. I think everybody should just accept it. But, I mean, that the jury spoke, and that's our system. But, I can see also why there are so many people outraged, because they were all emotionally involved. This has gone on for 3 years, and it's continued to rise in those 3 years by what you were saying, Nancy Grace and others, that have flamed that fire to the point that everybody was foaming at the mouth by the time it came around. But I don't really agree with the jury. What concerns me is that it doesn't seem like they really took time to really look into everything and have a discussion. But maybe they did. Maybe that's something we'll never know. But it just doesn't seem like they really looked at everything. That's just my opinion.
12-11-21. Remember that number, 12-11-21. Tomorrow will be 11-12-20. That's how many days, months, in years, we got to wait for the OJ to flip around on 13 years to the day, and I'm hoping she gets her ass caught up sooner than that.
Well, she's an accident looking for a place to happen, but an answer to some of that is that is the problem, is that everybody gets so fired up and inflamed that it really does cloud viewpoints, and it's hard to step back and really look at them objectively. That's one of the reasons I thought she was going to be guilty as I could not conceive of a time when she could get by all of this negative press and survive it. It was just, to me, too much for one person to overcome. And in many respects, that's a surprise. But back to the jury for a moment. When a jury brings this verdict in, oftentimes, even though juries are told not to discuss a case, sometimes they just look at each other, and they all sort of know what everybody's feeling, somewhat like teammates on a football team, for example. And they just know, so they get in there, and someone says, you know, why don't we just take a straw vote before we argue and see where everybody is, because they just have a feeling. And I think that's what happened here, is they just had a feeling that they weren't happy with the case and that nobody really was. And so the end result is they suddenly found that everybody wanted to quit her, so they just didn't have to go any farther.
Right.
Something happened. Said right there, something really disturbs me, and I wasn't there. This is my opinion, strictly my opinion. I want that to be sounded out. That's my opinion. But I heard two things that disturbed me greatly, and I don't know if anybody else was paying attention. But the lady had come out there with the black hair that was in charge of the jury and come up with, she's going to be out in 1,042 days we got, and blah, 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 blah. The one that did all the speaking and said that the jury's going to
be out. Karen Levy.
Yes, her. She said something very, very powerful. And it led me to believe early on, that's why I said I was peeking every once in a while. I didn't have my finger on any scale, but I was doing some peeking. And the peeking I did was, she said we had some cross-contaminations with the TV station, so we yanked the TV stations out the room. Now, 30-some days had already passed. She didn't do this until Friday or Saturday before the 4th of July, when they were fixing to have closing arguments. They finally realized that they had cross bleeds on the TV stations, and either yanked the TVs out the room or changed them up so they couldn't get any kind of broadcasting whatsoever or something or another. That was one. Number two, it came to me via Birdie that some of the bailiff or some of the deputies in the room knew the jury's outcome prior to giving that order to the judge. And I hope neither one of those is true, that the jury wasn't talking about it. But if you recall, they came in dressed a particular way the very first day. I think had they not gone home at 6 o'clock, they would have rendered a verdict right then and there. The judge said, don't be talking amongst yourselves. Don't be reading no papers or doing anything. But I would like to have each of those 12 juries brought into the judge under lie detector and ask each one of them, did you talk about this to anybody? Number one. Jury number two, did you talk to jury number four? Jury number four, did you have a prayer session? Did you all watch any TV? Did you see any blink about this on TV? And under a lie detector test, true serum if you have to. And then I think that the whole thing starts over again. That's what I believe. I believe that based on that, that would be corruption in the jury, that they lied and just followed the judge's orders. We start over again. Now,
okay.
I don't know if they want to start over again, but I'm telling you right now, something is wrong. And that's just my investigator senses kicking in.
Okay, I do have a question similar to that from someone on my Facebook that had asked it. And they wanted to know that if there was an investigation on the jury on like the terms like you're talking about, and they did find something wrong with it, would they be able to retry her again?
I believe so, for the simple reason that would be corruption in the jury. That would be a violation of a whole lot of stuff. I believe they would be. That would damn sure cause some sparks to fall off somewhere, and something may happen. Just like if they found out that either prosecution or defense was involved in any deal-making propositions or any tampering going on, that would be retro right back to day one. So, yeah, I'll tell you what. Two things I would request. One, I would request that because I do believe that some of that was going on. And the second request would be for the federal agents to step up and take over here and make it a federal case and at least get those other charges rectified. At least give some justice, you know what I mean? Let's give some justice. And just for my own personal opinion again, I do not believe that this child died in the swimming pool. I believe that this child asphyxiated in the trunk of her car. period
I've
and simple.
That
was her baby. That was her baby. That was her baby crib when she went over to Tony's house on the 15th after her mom done got choking her. And I think she woke up like my kids do. If anybody got any 20, 23-year-old kids, sometimes they don't get up till 12, 1 o'clock. Well, you check the Florida sunshine 10 o'clock in the morning in the trunk of a car and see how hot that is. And I believe that that happened, you know, then. I think she asphyxiated in the car. That's why she couldn't say anything, because early on I would have told you this. It was us on this radio show that somebody asked me, well, Colbert, how would you get her off? Well, I'd say she drowned in the pool, and I'd use the canine sheriff's dogs to testify to that because they hit on the ground there, and I'd get rid of the computer evidence. And when we said that, well, Baez took it a step further and threw George under the bus, but basically it was the same story. Now, had that been the story, she would have just said, oh, my God, called 911, my kid died. And I always said that however the kid died, she was happy because she was free. But unfortunately, she couldn't say anything and caused to have to hide it, not purposely killing the child. I don't believe that she purposely killed the child. I believe that she just wanted her little free time with Tony. And Tony even asked her, where's Casey? You know, she's over at Danny's house. So I think she just wanted a little, you know, happy pillow talk with Tony. And she got up just a little bit too late in the morning. And, you know, by 9 o'clock or so, that trunk of that car is hot as hell. And I can only imagine if that little girl was in that trunk of the car suffering, crying out, beating on that, you know, Jesus Christ. It's hot in there, man. It's hot inside a car, let alone being in the trunk. And I've always thought that she died in the trunk of that car. That's why she could not come straight forward and say, hey, because that is child neglect. That is manslaughter. That is long, long time behind bars. Apparently, rest your life. But the poo, you know, that's a little more accidental, and we can sell that, and maybe we'll get you out of here with what you hide in 10 years or you're 15, you know, maximum. Well, shit.
Oh, okay. I can buy into most of this story.
Okay.
But where does the duct tape enter the story?
The dealio. When if you're listening to all these folks, there was no duct tape. Duct tape was around the area. Duct tape was here. Duct tape was there. And if there was duct tape used, I believe that the duct tape was used because when a body, listen, back in the day, you know, I have uncles that was coroners. You know, have you been around any coroner stuff going on? Man, junk flies out your mouth and your nose when you die because your esophagus and everything else fails to work. So everything in your belly, and probably she shut the lid back down on that car, looked around to see if anybody was looking. So, oh, my gosh, she's dead. She's cold. She's stiff as a board. By the time she took three or four more corners, she pulled over. This can't be real. Looked in there again, and, of course, all the waste product, everything imaginable was coming out of her mouth and nose. So she wiped her off, put some duct tape on there because, you know, they come apart, man. So I think if they did anything at all, I don't believe she was trying to keep bugs out or anything. I think she was just trying to keep body fluids in her until she got back to the house, borrowed the next-door neighbor's shovel, was going to attempt to dig a grave out there in the backyard by the thing, said that's too much work, and got the laundry hamper baggie, two plastic baggies, put her back in the trunk of the car, and drove around a little while longer and said, what the hell are we going to do? And chunk her off out there. I think it was a little bit longer than a couple of days because it takes that long for a body to start really stinking up and starting to decompose to what everybody's described this as. So that's what I think. And I think that, you know, that duct tape, she wasn't, or maybe she did put a little piece across her mouth to keep her quiet, and then, you know, maybe she used a little bit more later on. But I don't think she purposely killed the child. I don't think she purposely did it. That was her meal ticket, Simon. That's how she got mommy to do what mommy did and daddy to do what daddy did. Lose that and you lose a place. You ain't got a place to stay now.
Denny, you've been very quiet. Would you buy into Cobra's idea?
I think, again, the duct tape is, you know, an issue. I think it certainly could have come down that way, that she didn't intentionally kill her, but it would have been, I think probably in Florida law, it would qualify as child abuse to lock the child in the trunk of a car.
Absolutely.
Or winter or any other time. And then getting into that aggravated child abuse. So, yeah, she could have been... you know, under some serious issues there. But, Simon, I wanted to ask, you know, we've been talking about emotion and trying to keep emotions aside and not knee-jerk reaction. So that brings me to this question. What about the hot item the last couple of days of Kaylee's Law? And supposedly that's going to be where the parent or the custodian or caretaker of the child has a certain number of hours to report a deceased child or a missing child. Now, is that a knee-jerk reaction, or does this case prove there is, in fact, a need to have some type of law like that on the books?
I'm going to point that question at Jan. And quite honestly, you know, my opinion is if a child is, you know, missing for a couple of hours and they're 2 years old, damn right you should be screaming from the rooftops. I mean, it's a slightly different business, you know, if it's a 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old. I mean, they're unruly little critters, you know.
It amazes me that you have to make a law to do something that's damn common sense. If I'm, you said 2 hours. If I'm missing a 2-year-old more than about 10 minutes, somebody's
going
to somebody. But the thing of it is, if they enact this law, which is a good thing. I mean, you know, there's people out there that ain't got no damn common sense. So let's make it a law. It should be common sense, but let's make it a law. No problem. Got one more law. But is the law also going to not wait 24 hours before they get involved in the damn thing?
Well, that's one problem. How about another one? What if that child is dead, and you didn't report it, and then someone tries to figure out the time of death? Well, if you don't know the time of death, how are you going to know whether that person really waited more than an hour to report them?
You're in a world of shit, Dan. I mean, you know, the laws always slice two ways, baby. So, yeah, you're in a world of shit, Dan.
what if you report, my child was missing an hour ago, even though that child may have been missing for 8 or 9 hours? Nobody knows unless you admit it. So based upon that, what then happens if the child's found dead? You don't know that child was, when it was called in. Like in this case, you wouldn't have known how long she was missing.
I'm going to start tomorrow. Hello, 911? Yes.
Okay. Well, hold on, guys. I really, really want to get Jen's reaction. Jen's the mother on this program. She's our mother hen. The deal is, people want to put forward a piece of legislation that is going to be known as Cayley's Law. And that is, if a young child goes missing, you have a certain period of time. The clock is ticking. You know, you have to report it to the authorities.
Okay.
Good thing, bad thing?
Oh, it's a good thing. I think you should have to report it. Why not?
Okay. Now, many pointed out some flaws in the argument. And that is, well, who knows when the kid went missing? When does the clock start?
Uh-huh. Well, Simon, here's the danger side of that. Jan just laid down to take a nap. She laid down with her 4-year-old, 5-year-old. Little 5-year-old, as we've seen from some of those video pictures there, that a smaller child than that can get up and open the door. So she really faked out or played possum on Jan. Jan's now good and asleep. Jan's asleep for about 3 hours, and she wakes up, and she looks all around the house. It's going to take her a little bit of time to search everywhere. And then she calls, hey, my child's missing for an hour. Now, her child, unfortunately, walked out the front door, was picked up and brutally killed or something happened, and they can prove the time of death was just 4 hours ago. Well, she just reported it, my child was missing an hour ago. Does that mean Jan now is charged first-degree murder?
Yeah, I like silence.
Everybody got quiet all of a sudden.
She was charged under the law, under that law, right?
Yeah, there's drawbacks to these laws. I'm going to let you know up front. Be careful.
But, Simon?
Go ahead.
I have a question about this law, and this is Peggy Still from Idaho. That if you have to tell a parent that they need to report their child missing, if that parent already, I mean, you've already got a crime because that's why this child wasn't reported missing. That's why everybody's in an uproar about it. She wouldn't have reported it whether there was a law or not, because there was already a crime in progress.
There you go, Mama. There you go.
How many times does this happen in our society, everybody? This is a first, isn't it? So because this is a first, should we enact a law because of a case of first impression that really hasn't shown up in our society before this? Does that mean we have to pass a law first time anything bad happens in this world?
In my mind, no. In my mind, there's no need for this law, because the only people it will apply to are those people that have already killed their children or whatever. What other reason would there be for somebody not to report their child missing? I mean, you're reporting in 10 minutes. I've had a child go missing, and you're frantic.
You're not going to worry about the law if you kill somebody. You're not going to worry about the law either way.
By the way, I consider myself a mother, too, having raised two children on my own as a single parent. And, boy, if one of my children were missing 30 seconds, it's crazy.
That's the way I felt, too.
And, by the way, it's worse for men, because we are held at a higher standard when we're single parents. And something that drove me nuts is that you not only get the criticism to go with it, but you have women looking over your shoulder because they don't want to believe that you can be a single parent. So for most men, it's much, much more difficult. So 30 seconds is scary. You blink in a shopping center and your kid walks 3 feet out of your vision, man, your heart starts pumping.
Right.
And I want to come back to the beginning of the show. Simon was doing a funny intro about how the show started and the jury came out and their hearts were pumping. I think it was Dave talking about how their hearts were pumping. I have to tell you, in a trial where you have even, let's say, 10,000 at stake for a client, and that jury comes out, your heart is beating as much as if that case were over $1 million. It is human nature. It is almost like that quintessential sporting moment where the rubber meets the road, and nothing in the world prepares you for it. I don't care how many times you've gone through it, and I've tried over 60 jury trials in my career, my heart pounded on every single one of them. And so everybody, I can't even imagine how Baez's heart was pounding under those circumstances. And if he says otherwise, he's a liar.
Amen.
I do want to add one more thing, too, that I did hear this morning. That the new law, the Cayley's Law, it's not only going to be about the calling in to report the missing children, but it's also supposed to be to prevent anyone from profiting off of a dead child, murdered child. In other words, like with her making movies and books and all that,
We've had other laws on the books to prevent that from happening, and they find a way around it. So I don't know that another law is what we need. We need to teach people how to be humanitarian, not do these cruel things to each other and our children. I mean, there's a disconnect in the world.
I personally think that we'd be better off with Nancy's law, but I won't go there. Dave, are you back with us?
Yes, of course I am. I'm here. What are we doing here? I'm chatting amongst friends.
You're right. Dave's having a quick nap. We were talking about the concept of this new law.
Cayley's Law. Yeah.
I mean, is it worth the bother?
Well, I think
just on its own merits, it's worth the bother. I mean, what's it going to cost? But at the same time, yeah, I think that people who are inclined to break that law are going to continue breaking it anyway if they're not, you know, if they like what Casey did. But would it stop Casey? No. But I'll tell you one thing right now. If, like Casey, this other person was brought up on charges, that would be one more charge. And had they had this law in place before Casey was taken to court, she would have been charged for that, and that's where the jury might have gotten a big fine. You know, whatever, depending on the fine and what kind of a penalty it holds, would be my guess.
So does that mean you're anticipating another Casey Anthony trial in this century? I mean, events like this happen once.
No, there can't be another, nothing like that, but I mean, it's just if something happens where a woman doesn't call 911 when her child is missing.
Oh,
you know,
I think there's
going to
be a lot of copycats. I hope not, too, but I do believe there will be. And then they're going to come back and say, well, Casey got away with it, so can I. There's a lot of sick people in the world.
I think it'll be very hard for anyone to copy this bizarre set of circumstances. This is borders on being Murphy's Law. It's one of the most unusual factual scenarios, which is why I think the case became what it was, because nobody had seen a case like it before, and then that's what makes these cases what they are. And if this were just kind of a run-of-the-mill case, we wouldn't be having these discussions. So the likelihood of this happening again are really very, very slim.
Okay, I'll tell you what, folks. Need to run out to the switchboard. We've had someone on hold for almost 13 minutes. Caller from... Oops, my switchboard is so tired. It's going, no. we have a caller from the 951 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, guys. This is Wendy. I'm calling from California, and I have a question for Cobra. First off, kudos on not having to read Crow Pie after last week when everybody gave you so much crap on what you were calling the case was going to, or the verdict was going to be, and you ended up being right. But I have a question. This Tim Miller doing this lawsuit that he's claiming to want on Casey Anthony. Last night I listened to a podcast from August of 2009 when you got of your assignment, and you had Leonard Padilla on it, and Cobra and Leonard were talking about the Casey Anthony and Tim Miller. And he both claimed that Tim Miller only looked for dead bodies. But he's now saying he can sue Casey because he was looking for a live body. Is that true?
I called Timmy Miller right after he got done airing that show the other night. He hasn't returned my call back. But that was one of the questions I wanted to ask him. I said, Timmy, you guys were looking for... I love Timmy. Timmy's a good guy. I mean, he puts it all into it. But Timmy, you were in a boat with sonar. Looking under, what, you think she went diving or something? I was going to rouse with him a little bit, you know, because truthfully, Equisearch does look for, my opinion, and I wanted to get confirmation from him before somebody else asked me a question. They already did about 20 times, 21 now. And that's been my thought all along, that they do look for missing dead children, not live children. And that's why they have sonar and everything, they hit the water, so... Yeah, that's why I say his case, even though I like the guy, he's a good guy. I don't think his case is going to go anywhere for that reason.
You also said, Leonard said something during it, too, and I thought, that makes it quite interesting because Nancy Grace has been so adamant about Cop Mom, and she's very angry at the defense attorneys after their press conference, that she was the one that donated that $100,000. I'm just wondering if she has something to do with this whole lawsuit against.
I don't like Nancy Grace. Anything I say would not be very positive. She invokes herself into the wrong situations. I know it firsthand. And, you know, she does get the names of the little children out there. And as long as she sticks to just that, fine. But when you start choosing sides like me as an investigator, I know I cannot bring my emotion into it, Otherwise, I will not be an investigator. I'll just be another talking head, somebody with a piece of rope ready to lynch them. I'll be a lynch mob. I won't be an investigator. Investigator goes find out what the facts are. So you're absolutely right. Unless Tim Miller tells me something different, because I'm going to ask him, when was the last time you saw a two-year-old with a dive suit on, and that must have been what you were looking for out there, right? How are you going to get past that?
I have one more question for you, T. Cobra. Last thing, also in the same podcast in 09, you said something that my heart just jumped. I couldn't believe you said it, was that you asked Leonard, you said, so how do you think Kaylee died? And then you got in your little tone that you knew something, and you said, you mean she drowned, right, Leonard? She drowned in the pool, and George told us. And everybody started talking, you guys, nobody caught that. I caught it.
I can't touch that one right now. That one I can't touch.
Oh,
but
man.
You caught it. Yeah. But yeah, Leonard and I don't get along too well. You know, Leonard's first lie was that he bonded Casey out of jail, and he did not bond her out of jail. He was just a spokesman for all that business. My friend bonded her out of jail, but every time I hear him open his mouth, I've got to separate the flashy from the pepper, because Leonard, he's a good guy. I like him, but he bullshits a little bit too much for me.
I have a theory on the Chris Simon's wife on the duct tape.
Okay.
Did anybody ever stop and think that maybe he put the duct tape on so when nothing would get in her mouth or eyes or nose?
She wasn't that caring. She wasn't that caring.
No, you don't.
No, she was. She didn't care that much. No. She wasn't that caring.
Okay. Well, that's all. And kudos for your
okay.
call.
Thank you for
Thank
calling.
You.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, I want to put out a general question. I'm going to go around the table on it. There's lots of missing children. There's lots of, unfortunately, dead children. What made this one so famous? Manny, do you have any thoughts?
Yes, Nancy Grace. Had Nancy Grace not taken the stand she did, I think this would have been just another ordinary case until the verdict came down. And because she isn't someone like O.J. Simpson, who was in the public eye and who raised it because he was a celebrity, it was just a pathetic case until she came along, and she managed to make it more than she was. It was. And again, I agree with Cobra. Had she just followed the straight up line with it, she might have done a service with it, but she just found that if she took a harsher position towards Casey Anthony, her ratings went up. And I think she convinced everybody that this was the crime of the century. And by the way, anytime a child dies, I think it's probably a crime of the century, but it wouldn't have played anywhere else without her. And I think what happens with the media is when one starts it, everybody gets afraid, well, if I don't cover this too, look, her ratings are going up. Look, what's going to happen to me? So it creates sort of a feeding frenzy out of fear in the media that they're not going to cover everything they want to cover. So, yes, at the end of the day, I think Nancy Grace was the biggest part of this. But, yes, I also believe that any time a child does, it's news in this country.
Benny, would you agree with Manny?
Well, I think certainly the media, obviously, and Nancy Grace, probably chief among the media, kept the story out there. But I think Casey's own actions, the bizarre actions, were an easy sale. I think people, you know, the Universal Studio job that didn't exist, Zandy the nanny who didn't exist. And I think as, you know, people just had a tough time getting their head around the fact that somebody could go 31 days and never report their child missing. And then when the media got a hold of it, and certain media outlets such as Nancy Grace's show pushed it and really spoon-fed the public about the case, but I think they had a good product to sell and that it was so bizarre. And I think that caught the attention of a lot of people.
Dave, would you agree? The
well, I can say this. You know, living in Orlando, and well, it was on the media every day. I mean, every day you turned on the television, there was something about this. Now, before I began writing about it, I went to visit some friends in South Florida over the Labor Day weekend, September. And my best friend's wife asked me if I knew anything, was I watching, did I, what do I know about the Top Mom? And I, Top Mom, you know, I'm thinking T-O-P, you know, not T-O-T. So I'm thinking of Top Mom, like a spinning top or whatever. I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. So my best friend said, who I saw this morning, she said, you're going to learn tonight. And then Nancy Grace is on. I said, oh, the Top Mom, yeah. But I hadn't known anything about Nancy Grace. Yet, of course, living in Orlando, it was a huge story. And I knew by then that it was a huge story all around the country. So I wouldn't put too much of the onus on Nancy Grace. Did she help spread it? Absolutely. You know, was that a bad thing? No, not at all. The media latches onto this kind of stuff anyway. And it's all about drama. I mean, everything that Casey did, Cindy did, George did, Lee did, became an instant sensation. The advent of the internet and television the way it is, you learn things 5 minutes after they occur. So this one was just right for the plucking. It had all the elements, the 31 days, the smell of a damn dead body in the car, that sort of thing. Everything added together and kind of like fomented and boiled over. And I think that's really what happened here. And it had everything.
And Jan, you're chomping at the bit.
Well, I know what made me
glad. She ain't the only one.
To get involved was, I mean, what I, the first thing that got my attention was the fact about the 31 days that she had been gone. And, I mean, this is before I even knew Nancy Grace existed. And that's whenever I wrote my first article about it. And, I mean, right, as a matter of fact, it was before she even went to jail the first time, whenever I started following the case. And it was simply that, I mean, it just blew my mind. How could any mother let their child be gone for that long without reporting it? And that's what got my attention from it. And I was determined. I just wanted more and more and more. I was like, I couldn't get enough of it to find out what happened to this baby. And I still don't know. 3 years later, and I still don't know what happened to this baby.
That brings up.
Oh, wait a minute! Now you missed me.
Oh. did I forget Cobra? Oh
damn
no!
Right you left
it's
me out
not
last
so.
Hold on a minute now, Manny. The only thing I can say with Manny is meatloaf. He took the words right out of my mouth. Must have been why he was kissing me. Let me tell you what. Manny hit it dead balls on the air, bam. I mean, that's exactly it. And Nancy Grace is the one who ID'd this as Top Mom, and she was doing a good job until she became politically involved or whatever the heck she did. But the only reason that America even knows anything about Casey and widespread as it is, or Haley, or Kaylee, or any of these little kids, is Nancy Grace. She does do good getting them out there. That's the only reason I don't think God could kill her tonight, because she does do good in that arena. She just needs to leave the politics at home and keep bouncing on the kids and not try to sensationalize and make damn lies up and do different things to achieve that point for ratings. Just keep banging forth the name of these little kids and bring them up. And I'll tell you how that's proven. The little child that was missing from out here at Immokalee, Najai, we don't hear nothing more about him. Because nobody, Nancy mentioned him a few times, you guys mentioned him a few times, but we still don't know where little Najee is. He's gone. Somebody got him. So, yeah. Nancy has her place, along with some of the other HLNs. I support that. But it's the politics and the drive for ratings and stuff. You know, as long as you're putting out the little kids missing and keeping up with some of the stories and infuriating people to, you know, get in front of the TV and take a look-see, great. But don't be doing all this other shit. So Manny hit his balls right on.
You know, I mentioned earlier that Billy Wilder.
Sorry, Dave.
Yeah, the Billy Wilder, who was a great writer and director, wrote Sunset Boulevard, among other famous movies, Some Like It Hot, et cetera, wrote an interesting screenplay, and the movie is called Ace in the Hole. It was based on a true event of which he just literally told this entire story of Kaylee Anthony and how a reporter used the case for the sole purpose of advancing their career. And that story, which was written, I think, just post-World War II, is as timely today as it was when it was released. And then certain members of the profession devote far more time to their ratings than they do the facts. And that, look at Sky News, who was hacking, or I should say not the Sky News, but News of the World, who were hacking into people's accounts in England to get news. That there's an element of the press that needs to be restrained, and I think that, that people need to put a brakes on people like Nancy Grace. And I agree with Cobra. When she's good, she's very good, and when she contributes, but she needs to know when to stop and when the rights of other people are more important. And she doesn't do that.
Well, there's still a missing kid out there, and I myself personally, from firsthand knowledge, contribute that child still missing due to Nancy Grace. She involved herself in my investigation firsthand, lawyered up my key witness, and screwed me right out of ever trying to figure out what happened to this kid. So me and Nancy Grace, so somebody call me if they decide to sue Nancy Grace, because I can light them up.
Well, Nancy, you have a fan out there.
Let me tell you what, somebody goes after Nancy Grace, call me, I will light their world. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, I am 38 hot over that shit.
Yeah, I don't
know. I've called all her producers, everything, but for supper.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Next Sunday at this time, you know, Casey Anthony will be out of jail.
Well, I heard she's coming up to your side.
Where
of
the
town.
Hell is she going to go? She
she's
can't
going
go
to,
home.
She's going to your house.
Actually, I thought Cobra invited her over.
I'm going to bring her. I'm going to take her up to see Simon. Simon, come on.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
Hell, I've done it before. Shit, I'll do her again.
You don't want to bring her here.
No.
You,
I mean,
you don't want to bring her here.
I'll be riding
her. I could bring her.
I'll be writing a book, and it's going to be titled Jan Barrett, Axe Murderer.
If somebody was going to show up at your house with her, trust me, it'd be me.
Don't do it.
Cobra, I'll pay for the gas money.
Listen, brother, man, I done it once. I mean, I showed up there one morning about 7 o'clock and called him on the phone, and I had a guy that was very serious fugitive. I mean, bad.
Yes,
I had him
did.
Chained up so much he looked like Little MacGyver in the back of that damn van. And I, you should have seen the look on Simon's face. Ooh, Lord.
We were surprised.
Yeah, I picked the phone up. Open the door, or I'm going to kick it in. Oh, Lord.
Cobra, I'll take that back. I'll also throw in lunch money.
Okay.
That was worthless. Right. We're priceless.
We are almost out of time. Dave, where can she logically go?
Well, she's going to have to stay somewhere in the United States.
Why?
Because she won't have a passport.
Oh, come
and you
on,
need
man.
A passport to get out of the country now.
Who are you kidding?
What do you mean?
You can get out of this country easy as hell. It's getting back in that's the problem. Trust me what I tell you.
Well, anyway, I don't think that's what... she could go to Puerto Rico, okay? That
that's
would
not
be
out of the country.
A possibility.
That's part of us.
That's right. That's not out of the country, just what I said, Cobra. And,
but she can't leave the country quite
easily. I did not support George and Cindy like you asserted. But she can go anywhere she wants to go, I guess, within the confines of the United States. And my guess will be some of Jose's relatives down in Miami or Puerto Rico.
She better not come to Miami. Ooh, Lord. My Cuban buddy down here ain't playing that shit.
Channie Mason said she could go and stay by his house for a few days.
For a while. For a little while.
He said for a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my
no
Cuban buddy down here ain't going to have that shit.
They
happening.
Asked him
no,
if
no,
he
no.
would take, they would take him, if he would take her in. And he said no at first. And then they said, well, not just for a few days even. And he said, well, maybe for a few days.
He said maybe for a little, short while.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to lose our live listeners in about 10 seconds. But fear not, folks. Everything is being recorded, and I will have the link up shortly. I personally can't see her going back to her parents' house.
Mm-mm.
That,
ain't
that
happened.
Seems completely impractical.
Nah, that's not happening, brother. That's not happening.
Yeah, just not happening.
Nah, that's not happening.
She doesn't have any, quote, walking around money yet.
Nope, not yet.
Jen, tell me if I got this wrong, but I understand that there was $1 million offer to get her into the XXX movie
for business. Porn
business,
yeah,
but,
porn star.
Right, but even that company,
yeah, they backed out on it. They said that the public outcry was too much. They said they're in the business for making money, and if they put her in, they wouldn't make no money off of it. So.
Actually, the report I read was worded somewhat differently. It actually said, our viewers.
Oh, yeah. Our porn fans. That's what it was. Our porn fans were against it.
And it's pretty bad when, people that watch porno movies are saying, no, we won't buy this.
Well, Simon, assuming that wasn't just a PR ploy from the beginning, I mean, I can't think of any reason that they would make that statement other than to get some free publicity. I just don't buy it, period.
I agree with you entirely. Okay, the second deal that seems to have fallen through, let me see if I can find it. Book deals. Anyone know anything about book deals and movie deals?
Oh, I've heard rumors.
I only heard Jerry Springer said he didn't promise no $1 million. Maybe 999,000, not no million.
Yeah, they didn't come. It didn't take them long to come back and deny that one.
I don't blame you. That's too wild. Yeah. She's too wild for porno and too wild for Jerry Springer. What does that tell y'all? Jesus. God. I didn't think it'd be such a person out there like that. I've seen some hillbilly raising hell on Jerry Springer now.
Yeah,
about
I mean, you do see
on Jerry Springer.
You really have hit rock bottom when Jerry Springer doesn't want you on his show.
Yes, that's the pit then, buddy. You may as well hang it up, shit.
Well, I think part of the bit is that anyone who does anything about her will use what's in public domain. That way they don't have to give any rights. So if there's no inside information given, it's fair game. So no one's going to volunteer for her to do anything. Had she been found guilty, and she could have sold some inside information that didn't come out in the trial, then they have a little more interest. But in this case, she's not guilty, so they're limited to what they're going to be able to get out of what I call public record. And by the way, that makes for a cheaper movie, because the other way around, they got to start worrying about rights to all sorts of other people, because she's not the only player in this game, and a lot of other people may not give rights issues. So, yeah, I don't see that happen. I see them all saying, hey, we don't need her. We can do this without spending money. What the heck?
But wouldn't you like to know out of her mouth the true story of how...
Yeah, but the thing is... Who knows if she's going to tell the truth?
I'd just like to ask her one question. I'd like to pose as some big-ass money man with a bunch of cameras, have 15 cameras, and go, so you're walking out of here today. How's it feel? No comment. All right, stand by, because this question right here is going to shake you to your core. All right, close your eyes. Close your eyes. What was your first thought when you opened that trunk and saw that little baby lifeless in there? And I just want to see her. I just want to see her reaction at that point, and you'll know it. Then you'll know. I bet you she should have what? Oh, pow.
I don't think at this point you'd get anything of any value. You know, by the way,
I asked her that. She fall down. She hit the ground. Pow. She passed out.
No one's ever going to know the truth. It's really that.
I don't think so either.
Look at it on the good side, Manny. She can sell the story, whichever it is, to one person for $1 million. I'm going to tell you a real story. Here's what happened. And then turn right around and say, look, I told them a lie, but I'm going to tell you the truth for $1 million. And she could probably get away with doing that shit 4 or 5 times.
Well, you know, the reality is that that almost in anything that you do in life, you never hear the truth. Heck, it's hard enough to get the truth out of your damn children most of the time, you know, when they do things. So what makes you think you're going to get the truth out of anyone else? And I can't tell you how many times I've been involved with items, public items, and even in the sports world when I represented some well-known athletic teams, and we had to let players go or things were kind of strange. What ends up in the press is never really what happens. Because everybody's just out there guessing.
I just send her over to George Bush's house. He'll get the truth out of her. He's got something called water sporting. He'll get it. He'll figure it out.
George Bush. I'm sorry for the people.
No, he'll call Joy Ray.
Yeah, he doesn't know what the truth is.
Who's that?
George Bush.
Well, he'll put the waterboard on her ass. We ain't trying to ask him what the truth is, by God. He invented it, not for use on himself. Come on now.
Okay, folks, before everyone gets the boxing gloves on,
I have a rhetorical question for everyone, because everybody keeps talking about the truth and should she be prosecuted. You know, I see so many lies in the practice of law. You just get hardened to them. And I, for one, like to know when a whole group of people, including the President of the United States, and you can pick the President of the United States of your choice, and when they're going to be prosecuted for lying to the American people, or Congress lying to the American people. And this has been going on my entire childhood, all the way through the 60s. I don't think Eisenhower ever looked at the American people and told them the truth about anything that went on in this country. And the same could be said about the Vietnamese War. I mean, go on. So now all of a sudden, everybody's placing this huge emphasis on Casey Anthony telling the truth when absolutely no one in our country, politicians particularly, tell the truth about anything.
Spoken like a true lawyer.
Well, maybe so, but doesn't that bother you? Because I read what's on the bottom of all your emails about the truth, but it doesn't seem to affect our government. They just have no problem lying to every one of them.
Most of the things our government lies about, I mean, everything that they tell us a lie about that belongs to us, we already know what the truth is, you know. They just try to make us feel better.
Even,
but the only thing they really lie about is who they had sex with, which is none of our business who they had sex with.
Okay, folks, I really do need to wrap this up. I'm gonna say this. Justice travels in a strange fashion, and I'm sure that many people viewed what happened this week as our justice system failing us. But I'm not sure that is true. I think that if you really analyze it, the result is the result. However, there is one person that got no justice, and that is Kaylee Anthony. I mean, the little girl is dead. She's never coming back. She's done. She's over. Someone did something.
Yeah.
And I for that very reason, and that reason alone, I feel that the justice system has failed us.
Failed her.
Yeah.
But guess what, folks? She's in a much, much, much better place. And guess what? She's loved now.
Yeah, I have one
happy
thought
right
about
now.
That. Simon, does anybody in this panel, because I don't know the current numbers, know the number of people, of children, excuse me, who die, and people in general that die in this country and the murderer is never caught? In
yeah.
some cities, the deaths, like, oh, how about Detroit? Sometimes get up to 500-600 people, or excuse me, 800 people a year, and they may only prosecute 50 or less. And that's true in Los Angeles. During the height of our murder period a few years back, we were having as many as 900 people a year killed in Los Angeles, and few, if any, people were prosecuted. So this is across the board. She's not the first. She's not the only one. And sadly, that's the problem in our country. As our population grows, it becomes increasingly more difficult to find murderers in a country where people can hide. Even with all the new things involved and all the new techniques in terms of evidence, it still doesn't do it. There's too many people getting away with murder in our country.
I agree. Denny, I want to get your final thoughts for today's program.
On the overall trial and the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I walk away from this with the feeling that Kaylee did not get justice. I also accept the verdict. I don't agree with it. I think they could have... found Casey guilty of at least one of the lesser homicide death-related charges, such as manslaughter. I think that would have been appropriate, and I think there was sufficient evidence for that. However, it didn't happen. That's the way the system works. I just hope that these other kids, that the missing and dead children, will start, maybe not as a result of this, maybe because of it, to start getting the notice that Kaylee Anthony is as sad a case as this was, she's not the only one. There's a lot of other kids out there that die or are missing, and they need the attention to.
Dave, your comments for us today.
Well, I think it's sad that, I certainly believe in our system of justice. And, not all attorneys are crooks. I mean, look at Manny, for example. although I don't say that from, personal experience. But anyway, anyway, this was, it was too bad, but that's the way our system works. I think it's not the first time. I mean, look at O.J. Simpson. So and there have been plenty of cases like that. And the only thing we can do is move on with our lives. And I seriously doubt, like O.J., that Casey will be searching around the country for her killer. So, I don't want to wish her well, but I just want to, move on with my life and hopefully just forget about her.
And Manny?
Well, I'll offer you this thought. How many times did someone like John Gotti go before he was finally convicted? It's an imperfect system, but it's the best one in the world. And if you look at how people are treated in trials around our world, a lot of emphasis is put on what happens in the Muslim countries, but I don't think any of them are any better, including Britain, et cetera, that this is a problem in the world. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes there's an answer for every situation, sometimes there's not. But we all have to learn to accept that when we can't get the answer we want, we have to live with the answer we have. And that's where we are with Kaylee Anthony. Going out and persecuting her the rest of her life or the whole world trying to make her guilty or punish her, it isn't going to work. If she's guilty, she'll do what O.J. Simpson did. It'll wear on her and wear on her guilt for so long that she will end up doing it to herself. So nature has a way of providing, and if she truly is guilty of this crime, then nature will have a way of punishing her.
And Cobra, I'm sure you have something to add.
Well, I think when the scales come from the manufacturer, they're perfectly balanced. And when somebody tries to place their finger on one of them, everything gets sideways. And that's what's happened here. I hope we all learned our lesson that you don't deal from raw emotion, you deal from fact. And when you don't have the fact, you don't invent it, you find it. And as long as we stick to that and not overcharge something that don't need charging that much, and keep your finger off the scale, they balance perfectly from the factory.
And Jan?
I know nobody will agree with me, but I would sure feel a lot better if they would investigate the jury for fraud or some kind of mistake or something to where they can bring her back into court and try her again.
Oh,
and
I
try to get
you,
some kind. So they need to do something to get some kind of justice for this baby.
I agree.
Well, I don't believe they could. If they, I don't think they could reconvene a jury. I don't know any circumstance right now in an acquittal in this case where they could find a reason to bring back the jury. Although you all talk about cheap potential fraud, et cetera, it would be some type of extrinsic fraud, and it would be very, very hard for them to bring this case up.
Oh, I can hope.
Yeah. You know, Jan isn't trained. You know, she's not a legal eagle. She can
don't
just
be disheartened, Jan, because Manny, you know, he believed it was supposed to be a first-degree murder deal, so he don't got all the answers.
Well, I got me emotionally involved, and I probably shouldn't have. And it's really hard to accept when you're emotionally involved, and that's all I can do. So all I can do is hope.
Okay, I really, really do need to end this program. I want to thank all of you for taking part today, and I want to thank our listeners for listening in. Maybe we will do this one more time next Sunday. And maybe not. If we don't, it's been a great journey of discovery. I personally have learned a huge amount. I know way more about the justice system now than I thought I ever would need to know. Till next time, this is Simon and Jan Barrett. Wishing everyone a happy and safe day. We'll talk again soon. Till next time, goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you,
Thank
Simon
y'all.
Dan. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.